Let's turn in God's Word now to Exodus 29. Exodus 29. We'll be reading God's Word, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 46. Exodus 29, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of God. "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office, to take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil of wheat and flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplates, and gird him with the cuirass girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. And thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the innards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the bullock, and his skin, and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. Thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces and wash the inwards of him and his legs and put them unto his pieces and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Also thou shalt take of the ram the fat, and the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, and one cake of oiled bread, and one wafer out of the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And thou shalt put all in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and shalt wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And thou shalt receive them of their hands, and burn them upon the altar for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And thou shalt take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thy part. And thou shalt sanctify the breast of the wave offering and the shoulder of the heave offering, which is waved and which is heaved up of the ram of the consecration, even of that which is for Aaron and of that which is for his sons. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons by a statute forever from the children of Israel, for it is a heave offering. And it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel of the sacrifice of their peace offerings, even their heave offering unto the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed therein and to be consecrated in them. And that son that is priest in his stead shall put them on 7 days when he cometh into the tabernacle of the congregation to minister in the holy place. And thou shalt take the ram of the consecration and seethe his flesh in the holy place. And Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they shall eat those things wherewith the atonement was made, to consecrate and to sanctify them. But a stranger shall not eat thereof, because they are holy. And if aught of the flesh of the congregations or of the bread remain unto the morning, then thou shalt burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee. 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. And thou shalt anoint it and sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar: 2 lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb, 1/10 deal of flour, mingled with 1/4 part of a hin of beaten oil, and 1/4 part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Those are God's words. Having heard, remember in the last chapter about the garments of the priest, here we begin hearing about the consecration or sanctifying of the priest before the Lord, through verse 9. And today, it is we who are in union with Christ. We are part of the royal priesthood. For Christ is our king, priest, royal priesthood, king, priest, or mediatorial king. And through verse 14, then the sacrifice of the sin offering of a bull outside the camp. Outside the camp. And beloved, we have a Savior who has foreshadowed in that sacrifice, Hebrews 13, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp, outside the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Jesus, being clean and undefiled without sin, went to the place of the unclean and defiled without the camp to take up, or without the gate, to take upon himself the curse that we deserve. He was sinless, yet cursed for us. Back in our passage for verse 25, the offerings of the 2 rams, the picture so far that should be to our senses, that was upon the priest there at the altar. There is blood everywhere. There's blood sprinkled everywhere. Sprinkled upon Aaron And then it says, upon Aaron's garments. And so there's a distinction of where the blood is going, not only upon the person, Aaron and his sons, but upon his garments. And so there's blood literally everywhere. They have these great robes that have been made, and all these different fabrics that we heard last Lord's Day in chapter 28, and there's now blood covering them all. And it is through the blood that they are sanctified or made holy before the Lord. Everything in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament is bloody. There's blood everywhere. Hebrews 9 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. For if the blood of bulls and of goats, the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then back in the passage through verse 30, we have the succession of the high priest to Aaron and his sons. Through verse 34, the conclusion of this ritual consecration of the priests. And there was to be a sacrificial meal. And this points us to the Lord's Supper, the conclusion of Christ's suffering and death for us, is that we are in union with Christ. We partake with Him in the Lord's Supper and foreshadowing the marriage supper of the Lamb that we'll hear more about this evening. And this consecration through verse 37 would take 7 days. And then through the end of the passage, there's instructions on the daily sacrifice as well. And in morning and evening as well, the promise of the Lord would be with His people to meet with Him, to be present with His people. God's people, we are redeemed. We are saved. We are cleansed, made holy, alone by the blood of Jesus Christ. And all the Old Testament worship pointed to and is fulfilled in Christ alone. That's what we see here. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You for the blood of Christ, Your Son. We're thankful that it cleanses us of all unrighteousness for Your sake. For the sake of the gospel, we praise You, and we're thankful that You have revealed these things of Christ, Your Son, of His birth, His life, His death and sufferings, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, is now seating at the right hand of You, the Father, and waiting now to come and judge the living and the dead. Now seated as our mediatorial King, by which in union with Him we are a royal priesthood, as the bride of Christ, all because of the blood shed, sprinkling us clean and making us holy. And so, Father, we give You praise that Jesus Christ, who is without sin and clean, who is pure in every part and every way, in His mind and His heart and His will and His emotions and everything, perfect, and yet went outside the gate there to be crucified among the criminals and sinners and unclean and defiled and cursed ones, to be cursed for us that we might be blessed, so that we can read in the Beatitudes and have all those blessings that are towards us described about us because we are in Christ. And so we give You praise for the gospel. We give You praise for the blood of Christ that was shed, by which, in one picture, we are covered with His blood, but not being to be made unclean, but to be made clean and whole and perfect in Christ, in which we long for now. how we would be sanctified and cleansed of all of our remaining sin. If there be any here who are still in darkness, if there are any here who are still defiled and cursed and unclean, Father, we pray that You would send Your Holy Spirit and cause them to see Christ's sacrifice offered for them, His blood shed offered for them, that can cleanse them no matter how great a sinner, no matter how wicked or evil, no matter how downcast or far from God they believe they are from You. We pray that You would convict them in their heart of their sin and cause them to see the blood of Christ offered for them freely, freely laid before them, freely offered to them. And by Your grace, we pray that they would believe, to believe in Jesus Christ and turn from their sins, as You call us to repent and believe the gospel. Pray that You would do so amongst those who are still in darkness here, even of our children, still in their sins. Turn their hearts unto You. And Father, for Your people, just as Aaron needed cleansing, so do we. And we need the cleansing and the turning from our sin to Christ today. And so, Father, we plead that You would purge us of that remaining sin, cause by Your Spirit to those sins to be put to death, that You would grant to us alone, because we cannot do it ourselves. We can fake it, but we can't do it ourselves truly. That You would give us hearts that mourn over our sin and hate our sin and grieve over our sin, because we have sinned against You and our sin put Christ on the cross. And so, Father, as we crucified Christ, we're no different than the Roman soldiers or the Jewish mob who cried out, "Crucify Him." We are the sinners who put Him there. And Father, we plead that You would forgive us and turn us from our sins. For without You, and without You turning us from our sins, we will die in the pains of hell forever. And so we plead for Your mercy and grace. We're thankful today for the church, though the church is not spotless, has many blemishes. Father, we praise You for the church nonetheless, because it's Your bride, the bride of Christ. It's Your church. It's Your people, Your saints. And we're thankful that You're a God who works within us, and the Word continues to go forth. And the sacraments continue to be supplied. And so we praise You that You're a God who continues to speak to us and show us forth the gospel. We do pray and ask for Your help. Not only would You sanctify us and grow us in that way, but You would grow us in number, that Your people would believe on You, Your elect would come to You, that those of the world would see Jesus, hear Him, and answer the call and obey the gospel by Your grace. And that You would grow us to such an extent that we might plant another church. We hope that that's possible soon. For we desire to see Your kingdom advanced and for the kingdom of Satan to be destroyed. And so bring that about. And bring it about even through weak and frail instruments who can do nothing apart from Christ. Work that through us, if it be Your will. Bless the opportunities we have to evangelize and tell of the gospel and proclaim it to sinners and call them to repentance and faith. Bless us in that, but bless Your people, that the elect would be brought in. and that many angels would rejoice, and we with them, over the one sinner who repents. Father, we do praise you for our children. We're thankful for them, and we're thankful for the many blessings that they are to not only us as parents, but as a congregation. We're thankful, and we give you praise, and what joy there is when we hear them sing, even when they can't sing words. We give you praise that having children here is a sign not of judgment, but of blessing. And so we pray especially for them, that you would turn their hearts unto you, even in the womb, those who are in the womb, and you bring them to yourself. Father, we do ask for your help with our families, our marriages. Marriages often struggle. And Father, we pray that you would sanctify our marriages. And even through your word, that you would lead husbands to minister the word to their wives. And that you would cleanse the wives, that we would be a good image, imaging forth Christ in the church, the gospel. Father, we do praise you and thank you for your people. We're thankful that Patricia is worshiping with us again this morning, and we pray that you would continually heal her after her surgery. We pray that you would be with Jeannie and the hard night she had. We pray that you would uphold her and uplift her with joy in Christ your Son. We pray for a patient of Jeff Yelton's, Gene. We know that he has asked for the church to pray for him. And we know that the many struggles of the patients that Jeff has, and so we pray for Gene. We pray for his salvation. We pray that you would grant him faith in Christ, that there is no sin too great that can stop you, the living God, from saving by your grace. And so, Father, we pray that you would send your Spirit into Gene's heart, as well as the many other patients there, and doctors, and other administration, all those people there. And you would use the ministry that Jeff has there as a light in a dark place. And that the word would go forth. And even those who have as their father the devil, that you would bring them out of darkness into your marvelous light in the gospel, or through the gospel of your Son. And Father, as we do pray for the bride of Christ, the church, we look around and see that your church is very weak and frail throughout the world and throughout this nation. And so we plead for your bride. Cleanse your bride and sanctify her with the truth. Your word is truth. Just as we pray for ourselves, we pray that you would humble the church, the many congregations of your people, some of which believe the gospel and yet are so duped and tricked by false prophets and teachers who hate the gospel and who love themselves. Father, we pray that you would save your saints from their midst. Father, we pray for those congregations that you would sanctify their worship. The word that is preached, you would sanctify it and consecrate it and make it to be your word alone and not the word of men. And Father, we pray that you would thereby sanctify your bride. If we are not sanctified, we will die. And so sanctify us and sanctify the church throughout the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.